call it there?
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Speaking with Carl Thornton Jr., where I am truly glad that you are joining me and our guest, yours and mine, Dr. Caroline Frazier. I tell you what, she has put together a book that you will want to get, you're going to want to get a hold of. We're going to be telling you about the book in just a minute. But first, Dr. Caroline Frazier is bringing back to the forefronts of our minds something that is special to a lot of people. Listen to this. How many of you recognize that music? In a show that starred Melissa Gilbert, something that so many of us watched for so long, the name of the show, Little House on the Prairie. Dr. Frazier, I imagine that sounded real familiar to you.
Yes, and in fact, a lot of people are playing that for me as I go around talking to people.
I tell you what, you have put together just a wonderful, wonderful book that can really bring this to life for us, and I mean truly bring it to life. Prairie Fires, The American Dreams of Laura Ingalls Wilder. But Dr. Frazier, just before you begin to tell us more about Laura Ingalls Wilder, could you tell us more about Dr. Caroline Frazier? What got you started in the area of writing? And particularly, if you could tell us, even before what got you started in writing, give us an idea of what was impacting your life as a child.
Well, you know, I grew up in the Pacific Northwest, but all of my grandparents had come from immigrants and farming families in the Midwest. So when I listened to the stories that they told about their childhood, which was really difficult, you know, I mean, they were getting up before dawn and baking bread to feed their siblings and working really hard on the farm. And when I heard these stories, it made me, I think, really curious about their life, which was so different from mine growing up in the 60s and 70s. You know, when there were so many conveniences and so forth. So I think that their lives and their stories made me really curious about an earlier time, and that was part of what drew me to the Little House books by Laura Ingalls Wilder. And certainly just reading those books was itself, you know, kind of an education in what life had been like, but it was also a real inspiration as a kid to want to be a writer, because the stories are all about Laura and her childhood, and also discovering her own ambitions to be a writer. You know, in the later books, when she's a little bit older, she starts doing her own writing and writing poems and essays and really kind of reflecting on her life, and you can tell that she's somebody who became a very talented and fluent writer. So those books were themselves kind of an inspiration to me personally, and I think probably to lots of children to want to explore writing as a career.
Well, you know, that's one of the reasons that I appreciate your book, Prairie Fires, so much, because in all honesty, Dr. Frazier, when I was watching Little House on the Prairie years and years ago, I used to wonder if there was somebody who ever lived a life that came kind of close to what we used to see in Laura Ingalls. But I never knew that the story was indeed based on the life of someone who actually lived.
Yeah, that's one of the funny things, I think, about discovering her through the TV show, is because you're getting it in a little bit secondhand in a way. But of course, they were based on Laura Ingalls' life and the books that she wrote about them. Now, the books themselves were novels, The Little House books were published as novels, and they are really a fictionalized version of Wilder's real life. So there are so many layers to her story that, and we've gotten so used to the fictional character of Laura that I wanted to kind of take people back to the real person and look at how dramatic her real life was, because in a lot of ways it was even more remarkable than the stories she told in the books.
So what do you see as a good starting point for someone who is getting to know the real Laura Ingalls?
Well, it's interesting if you're a fan of the show or have read the books, to look at the differences between her real childhood and the fictional childhood, because in a lot of ways she had an even more difficult existence than the one she portrayed. You know, and the books are quite frank about dramatizing and showing all the different natural disasters that this family lived through. It's quite accurate about the difficulties of day-to-day life, you know, in a place and at a time when you really had to do everything for yourself. You couldn't go to the store and, you know, buy food very often. You just had to rely on your own resources, your own hunting or trapping, the food that you could grow yourself. All of that is a very accurate picture in the books. But when you look at her real life, you realize that they had difficulties over and above that, that economically their lives were incredibly hard, and that there really wasn't an opportunity for most small farmers in America to make it, you know, at all. And in fact, the odds were really stacked against them. And so when you look at Laura's real life, you realize that she essentially went to work as a child when she was about 9. She didn't work all the time, but every opportunity she could get, she was working in a hotel, she was waiting on tables, she was, you know, cleaning, she was working as a companion to, you know, going outside the home and living with other families who were out trying to homestead, and sewing. You know, she sewed buttonholes on shirts for hours a day at one point, just to earn 50 cents a day. So you don't really get that sense in the books that all of that is happening. She left out a lot of things that tended to detract from, you know, the portrait she wanted to paint of her parents as providers. And so whenever there were things that kind of didn't make them look so good, she would leave those things out.
Ah, okay. Because I was going to ask you if you knew why she would leave those out, but it was because she was trying to shed the best light possible on her parents. She saw then that to include some of those details that she left out in some kind of way as showing her parents as in some kind of way being a failure?
Yes, I mean, I don't think her parents were a failure in many ways, you know, and obviously they were a very loving family, and her father, Charles Ingalls, was clearly a wonderful father, you know, very talented musician, played the fiddle, you know, kept his family spirits up with music. Obviously a wonderful man, and she really did write the books to memorialize her parents, who she had been separated from for most of her adult life. But I also think she really didn't like to write about things that were sad. She left out the birth and death of her little brother, Freddie, who died at less than a year old. So she just really wanted to kind of paint a portrait of the family and of the time that stressed their success and the happy endings that she always gave to her books. But in life, of course, you know, happy endings are pretty hard to come by.
Yes, ma'am.
And so, you know, it actually was a much more complex story when you look at the real facts.
So as we read the books, as we watch the series, we see that their lives had challenges, but the actual life lived by the actual Laura Ingalls and her family, it went beyond challenges. They really had some serious struggles.
Yes, and I think that that's why she ended her books, you know, on the day that she got married. She goes out on a high note at the end of, you know, the series. And in fact, her troubles really began when she got married, not because, you know, of anyone's fault. I mean, she and her husband worked very hard to try to make a go of homesteading, not very far away from where she had been living in DeSmet, South Dakota. But they just ran into all kinds of really intractable problems that were part of farming then on the Great Plains. It was just too arid a place to support so many farmers who had, you know, flooded out there when the government promised them that rain would follow the plow. And, in fact, it did not. And so what they found was that, you know, their crops were failing year after year, and the family was going heavily into debt. And then they had just a number of really bad breaks, really sort of tragic events. They fell ill. Her husband was partially disabled by a stroke as a very young man. They lost a child. Their house burned down, and that really finished off their hopes of being able to stay in South Dakota. And so they ended up having to, after a series of kind of flailing around trying to find a better place to live, they end up moving to Mansfield, Missouri, where they would live for the rest of their adult lives.
So as you read, you researched, you find out what was going on in the actual life of the real Laura Ingalls, the real Laura Ingalls Wilder, did you discover what her true basic demeanor was? Was she essentially an optimist? Was she essentially a person who was somewhat pessimistic but hid it? Where does she come from there?
Yeah, I mean, it is extraordinary, given what she'd been through, that I think she was at bottom a real optimist who saw the beauty in life. You know, even, I mean, it's hard to imagine how much she suffered on the Great Plains with, you know, all the things that happened in the early years of their marriage, and yet she really loved that place. I think she always regretted having to leave. You know, she just thought it was one of the most beautiful places. She describes it so wonderfully and lyrically in her book, and a lot of people did not feel that way about that place. You know, a lot of people just hated it for reasons that are, you know, pretty easy to understand. It was very arid, and you were essentially alone on this vast plain. People would sometimes complain about, you know, going half blind looking for another person on the Great Plains. So, you know, it was not for everybody, and yet she loved that place and really appreciated it. And I think she had that talent or gift for being able to appreciate things in life. She loved Missouri when they moved there, and always spoke of it glowingly. And so even though she faced some pretty sustained challenges over the course of her life, she did remain very optimistic.
Which is so impressive. Dr. Caroline Frazier received her PhD from Harvard University in English and American Literature, and she has served on the editorial staff of The New Yorker. We'll be hearing more from her in just a few. Stay with us.